So we have Pastor Mary Pat going to New Mexico. She'll be joining forces with Pastor Jose out there. They're going to spend some time at a ministry that does a lot of the recorded Bibles for the world. And there's new technology out that these can be put on cards and put into phones and so on, but not tracked, which I guess has been a problem in the past, and some kind of solar thing attached to it and so on. So Pastor Jose was going there anyway to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Pastor Mary Pat found out about this ministry a while ago and connected with the person in the last 10 days or so, and they began talking, and he's going there. That would be awesome. Oh, and why don't you come and you go there? And so, of course, Pastor Mary Pat said, this is God. And so she's on her way to New Mexico. Josh and Christy are on their way to Spain. So we're spreading them out across the earth. And we'll see what happens in Spain. He has an ultrasound conference there, but that might not be all that happens. Pray that it's not all that happens. Pray that they get a surprise and the people at the conference get a surprise and everybody in Spain gets a surprise. So I think it's the first time anyone from here has been in Spain. We haven't done much of Europe. So maybe it's a pioneering effort. Who knows? We'll find out. There's at least some people in here that can speak some Spanish. You know, I know Lawrence is really good at it. Whatever is said to him, he says, "Sí, sí, sí." So that's why you speak in Spanish a lot to him. So he always says, "Sí, sí." Father, we had an intense time 2 weeks ago and last week, and Father, now it's time to just let you encourage us and lift us up and go deep in a different way, Lord. Just sense that the need today is to just find our rest in you, find our peace in you, find our joy in you, and especially find our hope in you. Lord, give us the revelation of hope. We need the revelation of hope much deeper than ever before. God, speak beyond the message, speak beyond my words. Please, please do that. I know you will. You're faithful to take your word and multiply it. Do that, God, and we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory for that, God. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in this time that we set aside to let you speak to us together, corporately, brothers and sisters together, in a family, in a tribe. God, draw us together, closer in the tribe, that we could hear your voice for this tribe, for this family, and go forward into the harvest field and bring out fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, I spoke on Ezekiel 37. I think some people kind of went like this during the message. I kind of had that sense that a few people were going, whoa, where did that come from? We kind of need that once in a while, don't we? Kind of get recalibrated, kind of get our ears blown back a little bit by really what God wants for us. He does want us to step up higher. He doesn't want us to just stay at the bottom of the mountain. He does want us to climb it. He does want us to keep going forward. And so if there's been a little dryness, we said, we need the Ruah. Remember that? The Ruah or the Ruach. You know, there's two words that are used for the breath, the wind, the spirit. It's what happened in Acts 2, we said. the Ruah happened in Acts 2, and it changed everything. They were powerless, weak, afraid, fearful, and after the Ruah fell, they went to the streets. The wind came in, the fire came in, and they went to the streets. Where do you think we're headed and have been headed? To the streets, where real people live. We're not and never have been content to stay in this house and talk to one another. We've never been content to just spend time, you know, in just fellowship with one another, which is not a bad thing. We've always gone out to the streets, to the nations. And that's what we have to keep pressing one another to do that, or we will become dry bones and maybe put a little flesh on it. But we need to make sure that we're encouraging one, pushing one another, prodding one another to go to the streets. And so we say, well, hey, come to Columbus with us. Why? We're going to the streets. We're taking worship right to the Capitol grounds of the capital of Ohio, right on the grounds. Then we're going to go from there and spread out and evangelize from that spot. Who does that? We do. We want to. We desire to. Jesus doesn't have to talk us into it. We sign up for it. Say, let us be first in line. We want to go. We want to go. We want to share about Jesus. He shouldn't have to, you know, push us into doing something that we don't really want to do. It should become our greatest desire. How does that happen? Ruah. We can't do it on our own. We can't even get energized on our own or fired up. When I was a young believer, I was pretty fired up. You know, a lot of it, I kind of tried to fire myself up. And sometimes I was, and sometimes I wasn't. And we would go out into the dorm and go door to door in a dorm. Or when I was in married housing, went door to door in married housing. But that can easily leave if it's just my enthusiasm. Because, you know, enthusiasm goes up and it goes down. And it goes down. Wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, the Bible says. But when you have the Ruah activated, your sails become full by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can't be held back. You're walking around in the store, you want to talk to someone. You're initiating conversations. When we're in downtown Canton on a Friday night, we're not down there walking with the others, you know, looking for something to eat. Although a few people had hot dogs, I noticed, with the hot dog stand right across from our tent on Friday night. Some of you partook, I saw. But whether we're down there engaging people by playing a guitar and guys come up and, oh, I'd like to play with you. And I give them a guitar and we switch guitars and we play for a while. And then I say, hey, you know, the tent's right over here. You want to check that out? And a few people do. Or a young man comes up, you know, and his mom's wondering whether he can actually play a chord on the guitar. And he plays a chord on the guitar. And he's already been at the tent. And then he wants it back after I show him what you can do with that chord. He wants the guitar back. All of that is building relationships with people on the streets. And there was a lot of people sharing their hearts, what they heard from God in that tent Friday night, and people were changed. They may not have received the Lord completely. Some did, but maybe they didn't. But it's a step, it's a seed. And if we're not there, if we're not going to the streets, it's not going to happen. That influence isn't going to happen, is it? So, push me to go to the streets. I will push you to go to the streets. And all that means is engage people. The streets could be Walmart. The streets could be the gas station. The streets could be our family. But let's not stay cozy. Let's let the bones rattle together and come together and put the flesh on and put the wind of the Holy Spirit inside of our beings so that we go to the streets. Just as a review, Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. If we expect more troops in this fellowship to go out to the battle, more harvesters, more laborers in this fellowship to go out to the battle, we have to go into the harvest field. We have to go into the battle and bring them out. Breathe on them. Prophesy breath into them of Ruah, and they'll be transformed and changed. If we're a little bit worn out with that process because people aren't necessarily responding like we want them to be, we're expecting that that's going to change. We've been saying that for years. That's going to change. People are having prophecy about this front row, if I heard right, being filled with students. Now, what does that mean? Fruit from the campuses, fruit from young people coming in. But it's also, we're going to need older folks to come in. Why? They have the experiences of life. When someone comes to this fellowship, I had a rather elderly man came to this fellowship, and we were doing something crazy. I forget what it was. And they stayed afterwards, and it was like one of those overflow times that went into ministry and crazy stuff on the stage. And he came up to me, and he said, I don't think I belong here. He liked what was going on. He wasn't upset about what was happening. The Spirit was moving, everything else. But he said, I don't think I belong here. I said, you definitely belong here. What do you mean? All these young people, they're all fired up. And see, he called all of us young people. That's what I liked about it. He was you know, decades older than I was at the time. So I was like, yeah, you got that right. Yep, young person. And so he called us all young people, and he said, you know, all those young people, I don't think I fit in. I said, you fit in perfectly. What do you mean? You have gone through the battles of life, and you've come out the other side loving Jesus. Decades of battles, and you've come out the other side loving Jesus. These young people still have to go through decades of battles. And they're going to need you to steady them as they go through and let them know you can come out the other side. You can give them hope. You are a representation of hope. Jesus inside of you has won the battles of life. And he stayed here until he passed away. He stayed in this fellowship. And I remember a time he prayed for me, he and his wife, and I cried like a baby. Now, what if he had gone out the door and said, I don't belong here? I would have missed something, personally, as they prayed over me after an intense time of ministry that lasted until 6 o'clock at night. You think our services are long here, now, that service lasted until 6 o'clock at night. People went out, had lunch, dinner, and came back. And there was still a line that I was ministering to. Some of you remember that. And that all came from something that the Lord shared with me that weekend before I got here. And I thought it was going to be short. And it turned into prophecy over people. I was just going to bless them, basically. And it became prophecy over them for hours. And they prayed for me, this couple, at the end. And I just released everything in me. They ministered to me. I had been ministering for hours. They ministered to me. That's why some of you need to know iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, so one woman sharpens another, so one woman sharpens a man, so one man sharpens a woman, so all of us sharpen one another. So Jesus sharpens us all, and the Holy Spirit sharpens us, and the Father. all that sharpening going on, you have to think of your role with me. One of your roles with me is to sharpen me. You want me to be razor sharp, cutting edge. Because you want my sickle to be very sharp when I go into the harvest field. And it can only be that way if you do your role. It's not just me sharpening you. You have to sharpen me. Some of you haven't been able to step up to that yet. Some of you are relishing in that. Some of the young daughters in this fellowship take a relishing role in sharpening me, correcting me when I need it. And I take a little bit of a swallow when they say it, and, you know, you're right. I could have done that better. And that's what all of us should do when we're sharpened. Take it into our life and let it sharpen us. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. But that was a review from 2 weeks ago. How long did that take? Oops. I think I forgot to give the person the quote. You know, it happens. So while they're typing it up, I'll read it if I have it. Ah, can you run that back? I'll read it and they'll get it up there eventually. Hope is real hope when, quote, I hope it works out, becomes, I know that with Jesus it will work out even if it doesn't work out. I know you'll want to hear that one again. It takes a little bit. Hope is real hope when, quote, I hope it works out, end quote, becomes, quote, I know that with Jesus it will work out even if it doesn't work out, end quote. How many know that it can look like it doesn't work out? But when you're with Jesus, suddenly it works out. Because you can't lose. You can never lose. Now that's hope. When you can never lose. Never lose. It looks like you've lost. But you haven't lost. Because heaven turns it all around even if you lose all the way up to heaven. Those guys that were martyred in the first century, they didn't lose. They won. They defeated their foes. Oh, their heads were chopped off. But their spirit went to be with God. And everything they accomplished and their witness of how much they loved Jesus changed the earth. Who won? The Romans that took their heads off? The Jewish leaders that wanted that? Wanted Jesus crucified? Wanted those disciples taken out? We kind of forget about them. And we remember the ones that spread the gospel throughout the earth. It multiplied from their sacrifice. They won in their martyrdom. They went to heaven and Jesus welcomed them in. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And by the way, here's a new head. Think of that. He just, you know, here you go, glorified body. Now you've got it all again. So they thought they took their head. You know, sometimes they separated the head from the body like they did with John the Baptist. Took off with the head. Didn't matter. John the Baptist went with, to be with his king, and he was given a new head. With his glorified body. You cannot lose. That's hope when you can't lose. Natural hope must be swallowed up by, overtaken by, supernatural hope. Some people say, well, you know, I hope that happens, or I hope we can get this accomplished, or I hope that India will be open to the gospel, or I hope, or is it, I know God so loves India. The hope is in Him and His desire for India. And India will grow in desire for Jesus. Never be satisfied by the hope you presently possess. Don't be satisfied. Always passionately pursue an ever-expanding revelation of hope. We need more revelation of what hope is about. Because we don't want to be hopeless. We want to be hopeful. Full of hope. And that means we have to be drawing in close to the one who is hope, the Holy Spirit. So hope is real hope. When I hope it works out becomes, I know that with Jesus it will work out, even if it doesn't work out. Natural hope must be swallowed up or overtaken by supernatural hope. When the world says, well, I hope that the world will be a better place if so-and-so is elected, or I hope that if this person stays in office that, you know, the United States will be better. I hope that this doesn't do this and this. That's not supernatural hope, is it? They have no power whatsoever to make that happen unless God desires for it to happen. So why not come into line with real hope, supernatural hope, the person of hope, inside, and what his plans are on the earth? It never ceases to amaze me how many people think they have some hope in God, but they have no idea, really, whether he's going to take care of them or not, whether he's going to provide for them or not, whether he's going to heal them or not, whether he's going to lead them or not. Because their hope is a bit too much like the hope of the world. I know how weak I am, so I hope I can stay in love with Jesus enough that something good happens. It's got to be more than that. We have to step up. We have to step in to who he is in a deeper way, closer to him, and then hope is realized. What's the scripture? The things, faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is love. Okay, love's going to continue past this earth, right? Just going to continue. Faith, well, we need a whole lot of faith in heaven. It's going to be realized, isn't it? It's going to be fulfilled. We're going to come face to face with the one we've had faith in. The one we have not seen, but we will see. And that faith will be realized. What about hope? Will we need to hope for glory when we're in glory? No. Hope is going to be fulfilled. Faith is going to be fulfilled. Hope is going to be fulfilled. And the love is going to still be there, isn't it? Because he is love. We're going to be hanging out with love all the time, love. And we can do that now. And it builds hope and faith if we do that. The consistent part is love. So 1 Corinthians 13, that last verse, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. The whole chapter is about love, love, love. We can experience that love now and in heaven. And it builds our faith and it builds our hope if we do. Pretty cool. Again, I say, never be satisfied by the hope you presently possess. Always passionately pursue an ever-expanding revelation of hope. If you think you have hope as a topic figured out, I don't. I certainly don't. I need a greater revelation of what hope is. Because when life smacks us around and life is so difficult, if we just hope for better circumstances, that's not enough, is it? If we hope that our pain can be healed, that's just not enough. If we hope that we get a nice present for our birthday or Christmas, that's just not enough, is it? We have to have the person of hope that we rely on, whether things go well or they don't go well. We rely on Jesus through it. And oftentimes, there's such breakthrough, it changes everything in the circumstances. But it's because we have true hope in Him, not in an answer to prayer, not in a change of circumstances or situations, not in a situation where we're not healed and we want to be healed. I tell people, different places in the world, hope in Jesus, not in the healing. And you'll do far better on the healing part. The track record will be far better. When we had malaria in 2009, both of us, Pastor Mary Pat and myself, we learned more, another level of hoping in Jesus, not in the turnaround of malaria, although we wanted malaria to turn around, believe me. It's wicked. But we learned more about hoping in Jesus, what that looked like, what it was like to be sick in Africa, way up north in Africa where there's no medical places that you would trust. And, you know, pastors are coming up and giving me plants to chew on while I have malaria, and this will help you. I chew on the plant for a while, and I still have malaria. So I don't know whether they put an extra flavor in there or what they were chewing on, but it didn't help me any. Chew on the moringa plant, okay. Ah, people come from here from all over the world. They want it. I'm chomping along, not thinking it was going to be a cure, but this guy's pushing it in my mouth. And I'm thinking, Jesus, this is hilarious. I ask you for a cure and you give me a song. I ask you for a cure. I ask for prayer from the pastors. They bring me a moringa plant. My hope has to be in you. It just has to be in you. And within a short time, it turned around not only for me, but for Pastor Mary Pat, prophetic words and so on were part of that process. And it turned around suddenly, just like he said. She had a little window in her lungs that was clear of fluid, and that window was expanded in her lungs to include all of her lungs in 2 days. It turned around. That is hope. When you can hope in something that the Father gives you back as you're in relationship with Him. I need that more. Psalms 42, go into the scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, it'd be a good time to get one. We're going to clip through here. At least it's not hot today. Verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Another way to read it. Why are you sunk down, O my soul? That's the literal translation. Why are you sunk down? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in, another translation says, wait in God. For I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence in this translation. In other translations, it says something about His countenance. But another reading of that help of His presence is saving acts of His presence. All this is good, no matter what translation. All good stuff. Everything that we need. Hope in God. Whatever we're facing, hope in God. Oh, I do that already. Yeah, I do that. Do you want to go deeper in it? I do. We need to go deeper in it. We need to understand what real hope is. When you have a mother that needs a transplant, you're going to have to hope in God. And the process that Mike and Jamie went through on that. All the things that the enemy wanted to do to take his mom out. He had to rely on the Holy Spirit. Jamie and he had to rely on the Holy Spirit. They had no choice. You could listen to the doctors. Oh, doctors. But then there'd be these doctors over here. Oh, they're saying something different. Have you been there? You have to take the white coats off the doctors and realize they're just people trying to understand the body. But Jesus is the one that made the body. So you go to him, you take the advice of the doctors, and you kind of take the advice to the real doctor. How many hear me? You take all of that you hear, and you go, this could be true, this could be true, maybe, but wait, I need to add hope. I need to add Jesus to this. I need to add the healer to this. I need to add his 700 names to this equation. And when we do and we press in, he gives wisdom to navigate these treacherous waters in the healing of someone else, a family member we want healed. And they may not have the faith within themselves. They may waver in that greatly. We might be, in a sense, the anchor they see, and we're taking our anchor and putting it into one they don't see and I don't see. You hear me? This is awesome, because that's when the supernatural comes into our circumstances. But if we just go to the doctor and we say, okay, Jesus, help me. The doctor says something. Oh, boy, that brings fear. Oh, boy, that could happen. Oh, and we start getting shook up because he's a doctor. We have to look at the one that's over him. And he's able to even put things in his mouth. And we'll recognize the things that God puts in his mouth. And we'll sort out the other things that aren't from God at times. I love that process. It's right out there walking on water with Jesus when something like that happens. So we have to have our hope in God. And we will again praise him. And we'll praise him again. And we'll praise him again. We said from the front today in leading worship, go ahead, open your mouth. And put your heart behind your worship to God. Because there's something that happens inside of us when we do that. That's why you see my mouth wide open. Every picture, it seems like, that they take of me doing worship is with this big mouth open. They can't get one of me just singing regular. Why is that? That's been a process in me. I sang mumbled mouth for a while, afraid to open up my mouth to sing for God. Oh, I sung for the world. That was fine. But to sing for God, I kind of held back some. I did that deal. I can't. I just can't anymore. It has to be big mouth, let it fly, worship to God for me to be changed on the inside. So it's selfish. I don't care about you people. If you don't want to get close to God, it's up to you. But I need it. So I open that mouth. It might swallow a whole lot of your air in this room. But I just don't want to hold back. I went through the years where I held back. Come on. I went through the years when I held back. It didn't do anything for me. This does something for me. I get on the stage, up here, platform, you know, we're spiritual, platform. And I'm energized by the worship. You have to decide whether you're going to enter into that, you know, to worship the Lord, but that's not up to me whether you enter in. When I first started leading worship, I would beat the people. Okay, we need to sing. Let's go. Come on. Hey, I don't hear anything. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, I might give you a nudge now and then now, but it's up to you. Would you want to go after worship for him? And some of you are getting big mouths I see it. Big mouths of worship. And it does something on the inside of you. You can come in here blah, you can come in here overwhelmed, you can come in here weighed down by burdens, but if you open your big mouth and you worship God, I'm telling you, something's going to change inside of you. It has to be many times. I come in here feeling like sin on a popsicle stick at times. And I'll go up there, I'll start worshiping God, and everything on the inside of me changes. I'll feel like, oh man, God is here. He's inside me. Even though I felt like sin on a popsicle stick. Be careful how you say that. Not real fast. And he comes in and energizes me, fills me up with his spirit. I could care less about you people. I'm selfish up there, worshiping God. It's not true. I do care. Psalm 43:5. Well, let's go to 11 first. 42:11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Do I hear an echo? An echo in the scriptures. And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. This is the psalmist repeating himself. Have you ever done that? To convince yourself that you need more? Have you said to God, I need more? God, I need more. Bring more of your presence into me. Bring more of your passion into me. Bring more of your forgiveness into me. I don't have the power on my own to forgive. I don't have the power on my own to worship. Do you know that you can discern whether someone is worshiping under their own power or worshiping under the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know you can discern that? And it's not necessarily a judgment thing, it's just something you discern. I've heard worshipers worship and they got it kicking, you know? They know how to play the instruments. Good drummer. You know, and they get about 7 or 8 of them and they're all singing together. They got it. But where is the Spirit helping them? They would never go off the page because that's a risk. I'm proud of the people here that lead worship. They go off the page, take a risk. Let the Holy Spirit take it somewhere. And yeah, we're going to miss some words. We're going to miss some chords. We're going to miscommunicate. It's holy chaos at times on the worship platform up here. But man, is it fun just to experiment with worship to God. An experiment in the right sense. Take a risk to worship him beyond the flat, normal offering that we do as humans. But enter into his energizing worship. The Holy Spirit giving us what we don't have to worship him. Can you get that idea? That's a picture of the way our life is supposed to be. Not just the worship. That's what our life is supposed to be. Take it beyond what I am and what I can do. Empower me, Holy Spirit, to have such wisdom, to have such grace, to have such forgiveness for people, that I'll be more like Jesus than I was 10 minutes ago. That's what I want for all of you. I don't want you to be Christian. I want you to be radical Christian. If we wanted Christian, we'd have the place filled. I said if we wanted just the Christian experience, we'd have the place filled. We could do that. Number one, I'm glad we're all family here. Number one, if Pastor Mary Pat wasn't Pastor Mary Pat, but was Pastor Bill Gokey's wife, we'd have more people in the seats here. You wear that? Yeah, be true. Absolutely. There are some people call on the phone, and as soon as, you know, it's told to them that we have two pastors. Oh, who are they? Well, actually, they're a couple. They minister together. They're fully equal, other than, you know, on the board, I'm president, and she's vice president. And I keep trying to give her a president, and come on, tell me now, leaders. It's true. She refuses to take it. She's not here today, so I can let you know the truth around here. She won't take the president, ever. I keep offering it, year after year. Am I lying? Okay, and she won't take it. But other than that, we're co-pastors, co-directors, you know, all those titles. And as soon as they say that to the person on the phone, oh, by the way, they marry people together. What? A man and a woman up there marrying people together? And you can just go, and you can just hear them deflate. And you know they're not going to show up. Why? Because they've never seen a fully empowered female in their life, maybe. That's a scary thing. A fully empowered Holy Spirit female. Like Esther. Like Ruth. Oh, man. No, we don't. No. We don't want to go there. Deborah. The world cannot be won unless that happens. The world cannot be won unless that happens. So when I go into Africa or India or wherever, they say, we're going to have a women's conference. I'll be there. What? It's a women's conference. I'll be there. The women like it. The men are shook up because that means they have to show up there too. If I go, they go. And they've never been to the women's conference because it was the women's conference. We have to have fully empowered women to win the earth. That's hope. That's part of hope. So 43:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Again, it says the same thing. Why are you sunk down? Hope in God, real hope in God. The hope in God that changes things in you and those around you. Do you know if you fully learn to hope in God on a new level, people around you will notice. And they'll either come against you or they'll ask questions of you and want to get closer to Jesus. If you truly hope in God, you rattle a lot of cages. Let's take a look at that. Acts 24. Real life example. Acts 24. After 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders with an attorney named Tertullus, and they brought charges to the governor against Paul. After Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the governor, since we have through you attained much peace, and since by your providence reforms are being carried out for this nation. You hear some flattery going on here? Between the Jewish leaders and the Roman government. We acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. But that I may not weary you any further, I beg you to grant us by your kindness a brief hearing. For we have found this man a real pest. A man that was growing in the hope of Jesus. Read his writings. Hope, hope, hope everywhere in his writings. He's a pest. and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. And he even tried to desecrate the temple, and then we arrested him. We wanted to judge him according to our own law, but Lysias, the commander, came along, and with much violence took him out of our hands, ordering his accusers to come before you. By examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to ascertain the things of which we accuse him. The Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. Okay, the Jews would speak up then, and just like they did at the crucifixion of Jesus. Sheep following religious leaders. And they were probably shaking their heads. That's right, that's right, that's right. This Paul, he's bad, bad news, bad news. He's a pest. The Jews also joined in. When the governor had nodded for him to speak, verse 10, Paul responded, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense, since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship." So he does no flattery, he just states the facts. You've been a judge for a while, glad to speak before you. Because whether you know it or not, Mr. Guy in Charge, I'm going to have influence on you because I hope in Jesus. That's, you know, Gokey translation in there a little bit. "Neither in the temple nor in the synagogues nor in the city itself did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone or causing a riot. Nor can they prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me. But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men." He says, these Jews, these leaders, they hope in God. But the hope Paul was exhibiting was a much different hope. He gave them credit for hope, but he was personally acquainted with Jesus on the road to Damascus. I like to think he was slapped off a horse by the power of God, struck blind by Jesus. You know what it's like to be struck blind by Jesus himself? I don't either. But Paul was. And then Jesus had him healed after he was convinced it was Jesus that was speaking to him. His whole life changed. One encounter with the Lord. Of course, he had blindness attached to it and then a healing and some dramatic things there. So when he says hope in God, he's talking about, I have a personal, ongoing relationship and encounter with Jesus. They have a hope that there'll be a resurrection of the dead. We can agree on that. But truth be told, if he spoke a little further into it, he would say, I have personal contact with Jesus every day, every moment that I live. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to lead me. I'm looking for that constant conversation with Holy Spirit. Now, this was the beginning of the church. Some people look back, many people in the church look back to this time as the highlight. Oh, look at all that was happening in Acts. We need to have Acts happen today. No, we need today to happen today, which is far beyond Acts. If we were to take the testimonies from across the earth in this day, it would make Acts look like the nursery. That's why we need to pay attention to what's happening. There are healings happening today that didn't happen in Acts. Let's not look to Acts as the highlight. That's the nursery. We're supposed to be growing up and doing massively more works for Jesus than they did. Although, good examples, many of them in Acts. Now I have completely lost my place. Well, it doesn't hurt to say it again. Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience toward both God and before men. In other words, I'm not lying to you, because I'm before God, the one I hope in, and he's listening to me, so I'm going to keep a good conscience. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings, in which they found me occupied in the temple, having been purified without any crowd or uproar. But there were some Jews from Asia who ought to have been present before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves tell what misdeed they found when I stood before the council, other than for this one statement which I shouted out while standing among them, for the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial before you today. I did kind of speak out of turn, but maybe it was in turn with God and out of turn in the assembly. I'll admit to that. But these other accusations are just purely accusations, because I hope in God, and they don't fully hope in God. If they did, they'd recognize Jesus, the one that resurrected from the dead, the one that they helped put on the cross. He was rattling the cages of Rome and the cages of the religious, all at the same time. We can do that. We're going to do that more and more. Are you ready? But Felix, having more exact knowledge about the way, he knew about Christians, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case. I want to think about this for a while. Then he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. What do you think Paul did? Let's have church. Under the permission of the ruler. How do you think the guys that were accusing him from the religious crowd felt about that? How did this happen? We come here to accuse him. We flatter. We do everything we can to get this leader to turn him over to us so we can take care of business. And Paul comes out smelling like a rose. Would you like some more cookies and milk for your friends? How about a little bit of coffee and donuts? Let's have a fellowship time over here while you're under arrest. His favor, because of his hope in God, was blowing the system up. It gets worse for them. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was, I know that was your choice of a second name, rather than Selah, Drusilla. His wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Paul, come talk to us. Don't just have your fellowship time with your friends. Go ahead, preach to us. The leaders. He's invited to preach to them. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix became frightened. This is a guy under arrest. He speaks of righteousness, self-control, and judgment, and Felix is shaking in his boots. the leader, the one in charge. He could do whatever he wanted to Paul. But instead, he's frightened. And he says, go away for the present. And when I find time, I will summon you. He doesn't want to do anything to him. He starts having kind of a fear of God that if I touch this guy, what if what he's saying is true? His hope in God is so strong, it's starting to slap me around in the face. I'm the leader. I'm the Roman leader. And yet, I can't do anything with this guy. Leave me. I'll summon you later. At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given to him by Paul. Well, maybe I can blow this guy's cover. You know, okay, hope in God. How about hope in the drachma? Hope in the silver drachma. What about that? He wanted a bribe. We've been places in the world where they want a bribe from us to release certain things or to do certain things and so on. We resist that. We say no to that. And then it gets released without it. At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given to him by Paul. Give me a bribe. Therefore, he also used to send to him quite often and converse with him. He couldn't help it. Leave me. No, come back. No, leave me, Paul, leave me. No, come back. Maybe he'll give me a bribe and I can just release him. Because if I release him without the bribe, the religious people won't understand. The Roman government won't understand, but they understand a bribe. Everybody understands a bribe. Paul, give me a bribe so I can release you. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. He waited so long, another guy took over. He could not take Paul out. He could not figure out a way to get around his hope. His hope in God was so strong, it changed the system. No bribes. No torture. Get away from me, Paul. Come back. Get away from me. You'll have relatives like that. You'll have family members like that. You will have people that you work with that'll be like that. Oh, they don't want to talk to you. And then they are in a time of need and they run to you. You might not even know they're in need. I worked with a woman when I was a teacher that said, never talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about him. She ended up, at the end of my teaching career, my last year of school, wanting prayer from me, wanting me to be in the building to protect her. Now, how did that get turned around? Hope. I hoped in God, and when she was hopeless because of a terrible situation in the school, she came running to the two Christians that she knew, myself and another woman teacher, and she accepted our prayer. And the janitor, in tears, accepted our prayer because of what was going on in the school. And other teachers, crying in the hallway, giving me hugs. What? I was like the center of a storm. I was the one that had hope in God. You will be there in somebody's lives. You're going to be the eye of the storm that they're going to want to come to. Probably the least likely, because this woman said, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Give me prayer. I need prayer. Here's my situation. And as the two Christian teachers prayed over her, she ended up at the end of the year getting an upgrade, getting a change, a big change in what was going on. And so her husband brought the family to a frontline event. And he came up to me and he said, I want to thank you for everything you did for my wife. I said, well, I prayed. It was actually God that did all the work. That's the influence that each of us have. And some of you have stories already. You're not waiting for a story. You have some. Think back. How has your hope maybe given you a reaction with some family members or friends or co-workers, whoever? There was a reaction against you, and then it changed. Or it will change. God is bringing some people to your heart and mind right now that need a major change in your family, in those that you are co-workers with, or some relationship that you have. Start contending for that. They will not always be the way they are now. And their circumstances won't always be the way they are now. And they're going to need the eye of the storm. And if they see that you hope in God, wow, everything changes. They will come running to you at some point. Maybe it'll look more like, you know, slumped over coming and saying, can we have coffee? Or, you know, who knows what form it will take. But you will know that hope is drawing them. The hope that's inside of you. Do you want that? Or are you afraid of that happening? We have to be ready. Kind of prepare our hearts. Both my father and mother, when I became a Christian, they just kind of watched. My mom, you know, she thought it was okay. Yeah, she took me to church when I was a kid. So, yeah, hey, it's better than what you were doing. Kind of lost. You looked a little lost and down and had a curtain.
Hair.
In front of your face. You looked better. So she was okay with that. My dad was just glad I cut my hair to a regular length. But as they watched and the hope grew in me, when they faced a situation they couldn't handle, in both cases it was cancer, they came to me. They were much more open to me. And I went to them. And they both received the Lord. They had been non-committal towards Jesus. But the hope inside of us draws people that might have reacted to Jesus, or they just didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, or they ignored Jesus, or a thousand other reactions to Jesus that was inside of us. Oh, they loved us, but the Jesus thing inside of us kind of rattled their cage like it did with Felix and Drusilla. They didn't know what to do with Paul because of the Jesus in him, the hope within him. The same will happen with you. Look for it. Intentionally look for it. Intentionally, the hardest people in your family and friends, expect it, that God will do something. Because their circumstances, as I said, are not going to stay the same. Their situation isn't going to stay the same. And in many cases, as unbelievers, their hope is going to be hopeless at some point. And if you are filled with hope, they're going to wonder, what is the source of that? You look like the eye of the storm, and I'm in the storm. I've got to see what's going on in your life. Can we hope for that? Okay, because it's going to be settled. Settled hope. It's going to be happening. And when it does, come up and give testimony of it. It'll encourage all of us. Abraham says, I hope against hope. What in the world? I hope against hope in God. In Romans 4. He was called to go to another place, out in the desert, undetermined, from a place of prosperity and waters and oasis and
actual grass. Go out into that nothingness. And he obeyed. And he said, I hope against hope. My natural hope was completely obliterated as I obeyed God. And it became supernatural hope. I think that's what he's saying. My regular old hope was blown out of the water. There may be people in Frontline or people in other churches this morning. They have some hope. They have hope in Jesus. But walk on the water kind of hope, risk it all kind of hope, I'm going to give my life kind of hope. We have to go before the Lord and see if that's where we're at. Am I going to risk it all? Am I going to go out there and let Jesus use me the way he wants to use me? That's a whole different level of hope. And we usually need each other to accomplish that. We need more of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. We can't drum that kind of hope up, can we? Can't say, I'm going to be hope today. I'm going to have a lot of hope today. That doesn't help. It's got to come from a closeness with the Holy Spirit. We've got to love the Word of God. We want to tell other people about Jesus. We want to initiate relationships just to tell somebody about Jesus. We want to risk some things in relationships with those close to us to look like fools for Christ. But it'll be worth it in the end. Because that hope is going to be realized. I thought putting notes on these cards would be helpful, but... Okay, here's some of the hope in the New Testament. Hope laid up for us in heaven. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ Jesus, who is our hope. The hope of eternal life. The blessed hope, a better hope. So he wants to take us to new levels, doesn't he, of hope. Doesn't want us to have moldy hope. He wants to be fresh and new. Greater and greater. Hebrews 6:18 is kind of an interesting passage. On hope. By the way, if you do a study on hope from this point forward, it's a big study. It's everywhere. Old Testament, New Testament, huge topic. Hebrews 6:18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Whoa. A hope that is sure, steadfast, an anchor of the soul, one which enters within the veil. A hope that goes right into the Holy of Holies. And we encounter the living God beyond the veil. Veil has been removed. We now can go into the Holy of Holies. Not just one priest once a year. All of us. And enjoy that hope in the Lord. When everything comes against us, when the burdens are too burdensome. He means it. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. He means it. Cast it. Cast it on him. But I don't deserve to cast it on him. That's why You cast it on him. But they're too many. Cast them on him. They're too hard. Cast them on him. I can't let go of them. Cast them. He's your hope. He's the one that's already beyond the veil. He's the one that's already set the way for us so that we could enter in to the presence, not take it for granted, and encounter Jesus more. Anchor of the soul. These are rock solid words, aren't they? Sure and steadfast. Enters within the veil. We are given a strong encouragement to take hold of that hope set before us. That's what this is today. A strong encouragement. To take hold of the hope that is set before you. Greater. You know, we go through the week and we kind of can get beaten down. By all the circumstances of life. This is the time to put the charge forward and say, let's go for this together. And then, hopefully, you get encouragement from the Lord so much, as hope, the hope increases in you so much, you don't have to wait a whole week. That's the goal. Not waiting until, you know, get beaten through the week and then next Sunday, oh, man, I need some more hope. But to have that hope increase in us so much, we're carrying it through the week, so we come in rejoicing. We come in with testimony. We come in already defeating Felix and the boys and any religious people in our lives and any accusers in our lives. We defeat them. And we want more for them. We don't want them tortured. We don't want the tables turned. Well, Felix, if you were before me, tell you what I'd do. Forgive you. That's how big my hope is. I can forgive my enemies. Wow, that's powerful. Powerful. Hebrews 7:19, bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. You know, you can't get hope by just hearing a message. You can't get that much more hope, you know, even reading the scriptures, just reading them and saying, yep, there it is. More hope is available. We have to experience the one who is hope, and then that hope in us increases. And then we change everything around us. We influence people around us. Circumstances are changed. Healings happen. All kinds of supernatural happen as supernatural hope increases. Do you want that? I want more of that. I want some more of that. Pass that plate down to me. Fill it up to the brim. Second helpings. Third helpings. Fourth helpings. Bring it my way. I need more. Jesus. More hope in you. So that more people come to know you. More people are influenced. So, last passage, unless I see another one on my list that I skipped, which are about 20 of them, but just before we get to that last passage, Psalm 71 is a cool psalm. 71, not one of your numbers that you often remember, but in there it's, we recognize his rescue. We praise him yet more and more. We become a witness of his. We'll display his power and glory. We declare your wondrous deeds. We declare your strength to this generation. Your power to this generation. Revive me again. Look up the word revive in relationship to hope, and you just end up going, oh, I need revived. That's what will bring more hope within me. And how does that happen? By coming to the one who is hope, and I get more life in me. so many scriptures on revive me in the Psalms and elsewhere. Check out Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. It would be a great quiet time. Go through that psalm. What, 176 verses? One psalm? And look for the word revive. Look for the word hope. It's incredible. In fact, Psalm 119, 147 says, I hope in your word. All works together, doesn't it? Matthew 7, last passage. Matthew 7:24. Familiar, but put it in this context of hope. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. You may feel slammed against. You may feel like the winds are blowing, the floods are coming, the rain fell all over you. But you're on a rock if you have the hope of Jesus in depth. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Never trade the rock for the sand. There are people that I wish I could chase down and love on them a little bit more so they wouldn't trade the rock for the sand. Don't trade the rock for the sand. Doesn't go well. Everyone who hears these words of mine does not act on them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Their scribes were on sand. That's why. The Jewish scribes were on sand. They would not accept the revelation of Jesus Christ, so you cannot have full-out hope. You have a hope in the resurrection of the dead, I guess, unless you're a Sadducee, and then you had a little bit of doctrinal problem. But that's the only hope. Hope in the Torah. Not a bad thing, but the Torah revealed Jesus. They didn't want their hope fulfilled. They resisted it. So they say, you know, you teach different. You teach with authority. Why? He was hope. And the scribes, they sound different. They teach different. No hope. Nope. No hope. You can discern it in people's lives. Do they have a lot of hope? Or are they just blowing smoke? They might talk about Jesus, but do they have a lot of hope in him? True, deep, encountering type of hope. I think there are more people in front line. I'm glad to hang around. Because you, whether you think you have a lot of hope or not, you're expressing it all the time. You want more of what Jesus has to offer. You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to go deeper. So if you're not one of those in front line, maybe you've traded the rock for the sand. You don't want to do that. I said, you don't want to do that. It's like trading hopeful for hopeless. And when you get slammed, it's for no reason. I mean, you're not glorifying anyone. I'd rather get slammed. I'd rather get accused. I'd rather go out there into the harvest and give up my own schedule and all that kind of thing for a reason
to get slammed. To let him have some glory. But just to get slammed by life and to have it not be for any good reason, you don't have any glory to give to God because you don't hope in him, that's worthless. That's a worthless life. We have to rescue people to hope. Are you willing to join the army that's rescuing people to hope? Some of you have already. I don't even have to ask you. You've already decided, I want to rescue people to hope. I want to rescue them from the sand to the rock. They need to be on the rock. I can tell they're not on the rock. Or they're slipping off of the rock. Or they've slid into the sand. And now someone has covered them over with sand. And they're up to their neck. And the flood is coming in. The waves are coming in. I've got to rescue them. I've got to be part of rescuing them. So, Lord, rescue me. I cast my burdens on you. I can't rescue them if I'm feeling overwhelmed. Hope in God. Hope in God. Don't be in the condition of being sunk down. Hope in God. And we need to help one another with that, don't we? I don't know how many times someone in here has encouraged me so much just by the testimony you give of something turning around. It could be small. It could be big. It could be life transforming or the most minute thing in your life that just turned around. And I needed to hear that. For a turnaround or a breakthrough I was contending for myself or someone else. It's just encouraging. We can encourage one another and sharpen one another. I'm proud of you if you do that. I'm encouraging you to do that if you don't do that. Father, we thank you, God. You're so good. Wow, I kept my word, Lord, that was the last passage. Thank you for supporting me in that. Jesus, we want to be on the rock, full out hope in you. In Jesus, we need a revelation of hope. And that means a deeper revelation and a closeness to you. If we get close to you, we're going to have more hope. It's just what happens. So, Father, tap us on the shoulder. I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you today. And let us hear it. If we've been kind of pushing you to the side, help us to hear that and invite you in to the living room, Lord. And let's sit down and fellowship. Let's go into the dining room and just eat a meal together, Lord. Father, to go throughout the rooms of our life and have intimacy with you, closeness with you. Jesus, if that needs refreshed in us, refresh it today in each person here, God. Lift them up to that hope. Let the Ruah of God fill them up because they're waiting for it. They're believing for it. They're just open to it. And their sail becomes full of the Ruah, the breath, the wind. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to continue to be after our hearts. We give in today if we haven't. We come close today if we haven't. We release our fear, our failure, our flops, our flounders. We release where we have been in fear, Lord, deep fear. We release if we've made idols of something else before you, God. And we say, we're coming to the rock, higher on the rock. We want all the hope you can splash on us. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We bless the people traveling, God. They'll have traveling mercies. And Lord, just pray that we could take an extra 10 minutes here to hear a testimony, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise for what you're going to do in us through hearing this testimony, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Can we get the people out of the classes? I want them to hear this. I have someone that I want to share a testimony with you. We sat down a couple weeks ago, and they shared it with me, and I wanted you to hear it. It's kind of encouraging. So hopefully we can take 10 minutes here or so and hear this testimony. And then we'll be offering you an opportunity after that testimony. So that's why I wanted others to hear this, since it would be better in person than awesome. Here they are. Yes, 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 yes.
That's what sound always does.
That's it. Yeah. And the children shall lead them. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping the excitement will be after this service, that kind of excitement.
Hey, come back.
Just checking to see if the room's empty. I had so much fun. So we still have more to come, or? Everybody's getting in? Okay. Do we have anybody down the hallway? Ah, they're coming. Okay, Rick, why don't you come up? So as I said, I've been getting to know Rick over the last couple weeks. And he's shared his testimony with me about a son in his life, and he's willing to share that with us, what happened with that. And then he's going to be going to the Philippines. He's been there once before and done some ministry there. And so I thought it would be a great thing if we kind of passed a plate today, if somebody can get a plate. We don't usually pass the plate. Can we get a plate? We usually put it in that box back there. You know? Yeah. So we'll get a plate today. To support what he's going to do in the Philippines. And after you hear the testimony, I think you'll hear his heart coming through it. And so he's a little surprised, I think, that we would do this. He's expressed that to me, but we read people in the Spirit, and believing that his heart is for the nations, his heart is for Jesus, and the Lord brought him here, and he was already planning this mission, what, the end of the month?
Yeah.
And so we want to support him in that, but listen to this carefully. To this testimony is really cool, I think, what Jesus did for your son.
Praise God. Do this little verse of a praise song. Never could have made it. I never could have made it without you. I could have lost it all. But now I see you are there for me. I never could have made it, oh no. Never could have made it without you. I could have lost it all. But now I see you are there for me. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. Now I'm better. I'm so much better. I made it. Thank God I made it. I made it. Never could have 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 made it without you. I could have lost it all. But now I see you are there for me. Praise God. Praise God.
That sounded like some hope.
Praise God. A couple years ago, I went to the Philippines, and I spoke at 24 churches in 21 days, and I sung over there, then I spoke over there, and prophecy went forth, and people got healed, and when I came back, it's been a burning, you know, a burning situation about going back there and ministering, and had a lot of connections there with Praise Chapel Christian Fellowship. The church over there is called Victory Church. Sammy Morris is the bishop over 2,000 churches over there. And they invited me to come and be a missionary there, evangelist there. So I'm going this time just to find out whether, for 20 days, whether it's, what is God telling me to do in Manila and Cabacolan, a province in the Philippines. But I'll come back to that. But right now I'm going to tell the testimony about my son a couple years ago. In 2016, after getting back from the Philippines, my son was attacked. He had a problem with his heart. And he comes in and said, well, Dad, I got to go have surgery. I said, surgery? He was 22. And when you're 22, you can't, after 21, you can't get permission, any information from the doctor. So he was going to Akron Children's by himself all this time with his heart doctor. And so he said, well, I got to go to the Cleveland Clinic to have surgery. I said, man, what? He dropped this on us a couple weeks before Christmas. And he said, in February, I'm going in. 6-hour surgery. So end up coming to that day, it was like, man. Yeah, it was something to go through, you know, when it's your child. But every hour, those 6 hours, his mom was calling me, and he's doing good, he's doing good. I was on my way up there. I wanted to get there at the last hour for a reason. All I wanted to hear was he's doing great, he came out okay. And I get to the Cleveland Clinic, and the doctor says, sit down. I said, sit down? What you mean, sit down? He says, sit down. His heart was worse than, you know, what we thought. I said, wow. I said, well, she was calling me and telling me that he was doing okay. He said it was worse than what we thought, and we lost him. I said, lost him? What is this, man? And I said, where's your chapel at? I went down. They showed me where the chapel. They said, we lost him. I said, no. Mark 11:24 said, whatsoever we desire when we pray, believe that we receive and we shall have it. I said, Lord, this is all I got is to stand on your word. I know you're not going to just, I just don't feel this is time. I feel Satan is in this. And I know you're not going to break my heart, Lord, taking my child. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to take your hands off of him. Death, I command you in the name of Jesus to loose him now in the name of Jesus. And I just start confessing, walking around the chapel. In Jesus' name, my son shall live and not die. In Jesus' name, my son shall live and not die. Death, in Jesus' name, take your hands off of him. In Jesus' name, loose him in the name of Jesus, Satan. And these doctors was in there on their break just watching me. And all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, we got a call from the doctor that said he was dead. He said, get back up here. His heart started beating on his own. So I got up there. His had all these tubes in him. He was still laying there. I said, in Jesus' name, get up. And he started getting up. They said, stop. Don't do that. Stop praying. In Jesus' name, get up. And he started just rising. They said, oh, no. He, you know, this was cut. Heart was taken out. Heart was put back in. They said, oh, that's tender right there. He can't have no movement. We got him in a comatose until Sunday. It was Friday. Said he's going to let him wake up on Sunday. But please don't let him, whatever you're praying, don't stop that. And so I said, well, you saying he was gone for 30 minutes. He was out of this world. I want to hear what he's seen on Sunday. On Sunday, he woke up. I said, son, what did you see? They took the thing out of his throat. And he didn't even have pain once they took that out. He said, Dad, I was going towards the light. I said, it looked like you was suffering. He said, oh, no, there's no suffering in death. I wasn't even here. I was heading towards the light. And a female demon and a male demon tried to take me down. And I remember how you prayed. how you pray. And I said, in Jesus' name, let me go. And he said, I came back into my body, and that's when I felt pain. But he said, I had no leaving my body. I felt no pain. It's not what you think. Death is not what you think. Death is life. And he said, I'll never be afraid again about dying. He said, it was just peaceful. What y'all seen on that table, on that in the hospital bed, what y'all thought, it wasn't even like that. It was just peace and just wonderful. It was great. I said, wow. And so Cam Repository, a friend of mine, well, associate of mine, got a hold to the story. She called the doctors and got the story from them. And they don't like to say God did it. But if you look at the newspapers, March 26, 2016, his picture's on the front, his page, Rick Harvey. And then on the inside, they did a whole page of what happened. And the doctor said it must be a higher power because he was gone. He was dead, pronounced dead. And then he came back to life. Then Fox 19 came out, and they said he's already walking the steps at the monument. So, yeah, he's already walking the steps. They said, oh, we're coming down, and we want you guys to go to the monument. So they drove a truck down, and they said, we're going to follow you to the McKinley Monument. They followed us out there, and he's up and down the steps. And they did a story. They got him on video, and they put that story on that night. And so if you look at the internet, Rick Harvey, young man comes back from the dead, and they did a story. Then the 700 Club called, and for some reason, they called like five or six times. For some reason, he didn't want to go on the 700 Club. I don't know why, but he just didn't want to go on the 700 Club. They said, we got three testimonies, Cleveland, Akron. We're not coming that far just to do your story, but we coming in that area, and while we're doing the other stories, we want to catch your story. But he just, for some reason, didn't want to do it. But the Cam Repository, and then everywhere I went, I just told his story. Every TBN and everywhere I went, I just told the story of what he was doing and how God, you know, raised him back up. Now he's lifting weights. A couple years later, he's lifting. He's going to school to be an LPN, and he should graduate next year. And God is just doing great things. The burning desire to go over to the Philippines, when I made up my mind, seemed like everything that's hit me. It seemed like everything just was trying to get me from going, and just situations just came up. And I'm doing work with Sony Music in California, digital. And so every 3 months, we may get a check for the digital part of Sony. And I sign people from Midwest and back East this way, and then it take a few months before we get paid. And so it seemed like everything was just hitting me hard. I said, Lord, I ain't never been through nothing like this just by making up my mind to serve you. I said, but I'm going back to the Philippines because I know God. And I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, then you make a way at this time. And so I started looking through the newspaper a few weeks ago, and I said, I'll just go to churches, and I'll just work for the churches, just do some type of work to earn what I need. And then I seen Frontline. If you look in the Saturday's paper, they got all the churches in there. The Frontline was in there, but they didn't have a number. So I said, oh, this church don't have a phone number. And then 2 days later, a black lady that I know called, and we don't even talk like that, she called and said, I went to Frontline on a Tuesday night, and I had a great time. I said, I was just looking at Frontline. But they the only one who didn't have a phone number in there. I said, what's with this Frontline? And so, and I haven't seen her since. And so anyway, I said, I'm going to go out to Frontline. I called, and I said, I'm going to go out there and see, not knowing this was a missions church. Had not a whole lot of churches in Stark County does missions. So I didn't know anything about what they did in the Philippines or Africa and all these places. I had no idea. And then I came out and talked to your pastor and gave him my card and found out he had these pictures here. I said, what do you guys do? And missions church. And then his heart was kind of open. Then I came back the next week. And I said, well, did you check my website out? Did you check? I got references if you need those. He said, no, I just prayed. Most people now, they want your fingerprints. They want to get a private investigator on you. They want to do a police check. He said, I just prayed. I said, man, this guy is for real. He
he's for real. And then when he said last week, he said, I was going to put you up in front of the church. I said, put me up in front of the church. He said, yeah, you tell what you want, what you need. I said, wow. Yeah, this man got to be a man of God because pastors don't do that. And so everybody had called, all those churches that I called and said, hey, I can come in and do work. If you know somebody that need me to do work, and not even talking about singing or ministry, I'd have done hard work, dirty work, whatever it was. They called back and said, oh, good, you know, good luck with your ministry, and we can't do nothing at this time, but good luck. He was the only one that called and said, come on out of here, let's talk. And I appreciate that. And I got to hear their music, their praise and worship music, and I called my guy out in California. I said, we got to sign them to this worldwide digital deal. I told my guy, then I gave the number to the pastor. So whenever he's ready to call Sony Music Digital, Sony Orchard Music Worldwide, he can call them. So it's like them being a blessing to me, and I'm being a blessing. I'm just obeying God. The music was good. So what could I say? I called my friend. I said, you got to sign this group, man. You got to sign this praise and worship team. And so where I'm at now, I wanted to go to Manila, the Philippines, and then I'll have to go down to Cabacolan, a province out there, about a 45-minute flight from Manila, and spend 20 days there. And while I'm there, I want to hear the voice of God, exactly what he wants me to do, whether I go back every 3 months, whether I go there full time. There's 2,000 churches there, whether I start another church in the province. You know, I know God will let me know what to do this time. And so the pastor said he would let me speak my heart, and the situation is now is to get there. And to be able to get there, I want to leave on the 24th of September, 24th, get there on the 25th. It's a long flight. And I'm just pouring out my heart to, if you're able to help, if God put it on your heart to help me to get there, I'd appreciate it. Like I said, the open doors are not just in the Philippines. It's in 58 countries with Praise Chapel Christian Fellowship. But right now, God has me right there in the Philippines. And whatever he wants me to do, I want to do, and I want to obey him. Because nothing else will work out if I don't obey God. He's not going to let nothing else work out. And so just pray for me if you could help. And just thank God for you. Praise God. Amen. God bless you.
You're welcome. Okay, so you know how it works here. We'll pass it around. And if the Lord leads you to give towards Rick's ministry in the Philippines, please just follow the leading of the Lord. Put something in the basket, or you can put a pledge in there, and we'll frontline will write one check, and we'll even base it on the pledge. So if you don't have it today or whatever, even if you put it in there, I can have it on Tuesday, something like that, you're not prepared today because we sprung that on you, then that's fine too. So, yeah, checks payable to Frontline, and we'll write one check to Rick. So, Father, we thank you, God, that you have made us a generous place to touch the nations, not just for frontliners to go, but for others to go. And, God, we're just asking that you would fill Rick up with the Ruah, that he would have not only this testimony, but, Father, his entire life, God, would be used by you to minister to those in the Philippines that are very needy, desperately in need of some hope, and God, that he would bring this hope to the Philippines. God, we've been there. We know what it's like in the slums, in the villages, in the churches. God, we are asking, God, that you would bring a whole new level of hope to the Philippines, and you'd multiply it through Rick. Father, we're entrusting you into his hands. We're trusting him to follow through with your heart. And that's what we believe will happen. And we thank God that you'll touch a nation through sending him. And
Who knows, maybe sometime we'll partner in the Philippines together. Jesus, we just ask for your wisdom, your guidance. Holy Spirit, be all over this and touch each heart that is to give today. And those that aren't to give, Father, touch their hearts as well. And we'll just give you all the glory for leading us. Even in this, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What'd you think of that testimony, huh? Pretty fun. Have a blessed day. Still raining. In Africa, rain is a good thing. Keep that in mind.